Welcome to Being Curious, the podcast series where we speak with professors from the Faculty of Science at the University of Manitoba about their research, motivation, and why science matters.
The real exciting part would be able to turn on these gene clusters and find new molecules that nobody's found before in these lichens. That's the part of it that really drives us forward.
My name is Seema, and in this episode, we meet Dr. John Sorensen, who describes his very likable work with lichens. Join me as I speak with John about the exciting and valuable study of natural product chemistry.
Our research lab is a natural products chemistry lab, and so what that means is we're really interested in the small organic molecules that are produced by all sorts of microorganisms. So in particular, we're working with lichen fungi, so that's the kind of thing you might see growing on a rock or a tree. And so what we're really interested in are trying to find the small molecules that these lichen produce, although there's a lot known about that. Our bigger interest is trying to link the presence of those small molecules to genes in the genome of these organisms as well. We were interested in a small organic molecule called uznic acid. And uznic acid's got everything you'd want in a natural product, antibacterial, antifungal, a whole broad spectrum of really interesting activities. But it's produced by a very slow-growing organism. These lichen can grow only millimeters a year, really. So in order to be able to understand how that molecule is made by these lichen, we went into the genome of the lichen. We identified two genes that we think are responsible for the biosynthesis of uznic acid. And now the main core of what we're doing is trying to take those two genes, put them in some other fast-growing host that we can cultivate in our lab, activate the genes, and see if we can detect uznic acid in there. What we discovered when we did the genome sequencing is that not only does this one particular species that we work with have genes for uznic acid biosynthesis, but there appear to be as many as 50 other gene clusters, all which seem to code for unique natural products that are produced by this lichen. And so the bigger part of what we'd be really interested in is discovering what molecules those other gene clusters make. Can we activate them, find out what molecules are there? And really, we think that would be a way to find some new natural product chemical structures that are maybe new to science and sort of unique to these lichen organisms as well.
And so what's the sort of timeline that endeavor takes?
We've been working on this for 10 years, and we're still working on it. In fact, 11 years now. And my very first PhD student started in the fall of 2017, and the project that she was assigned was to find the gene cluster for uznic acid biosynthesis. If you talk to a lot of scientists, you'll discover numerous stories about how some funny thing, in fact, often, you know, I think certainly the quote's not original to me, but I don't remember who was the first to use it, where, you know, often the best scientific discoveries are made by somebody looking at something and going, that's funny. And so it's the ability to sort of to observe the things that you're working on and recognize when something unusual happens. And that's the serendipity, but the key to making the scientific discoveries there is not realizing, well, something funny has happened, I'll just throw that out. Is thinking, something's funny happened, why did it happen that way? And so that's the part of it, I think, that's really critical to being able to make the meaningful scientific discoveries, is being able to observe the things you're working on and analyze those observations in a way that allow you to recognize when something's happening that's unusual, the curiosity and the motivation to go find out, why did you get that unusual result? Why was one of your cultures red instead of green? And you go find that red result and thinking, instead of that's just something wrong, that maybe that's the really original and useful thing there.
So some of that involves risk, right? Like we risk sharing our ideas.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's a risk involved in all of it. There's a risk involved in chasing down that unusual result as well, too, because just because it's unusual doesn't necessarily mean it's meaningful. And you can sometimes chase a lot of things down dead ends that turn out to be a lot of dead ends. But every so often you find the one that sort of does things that are meaningful. So, you know, there's part of it, and I mean, that's, I would say, a significant part of scientific research. And a big part of, you know, what we describe as fundamental research is that there is no guarantee that what you're doing will pay off immediately. Science, scientific research, chemistry research in particular, is, I think, for a lot of people, an underappreciated set of career goals. Right. And I think part of it is because it is a bit vague in the sense that, you know, almost many other professions, there's a list on a wall of jobs you can point to and say, if I'm an engineer, here's the things I can do. And even more refined, if I'm a mechanical engineer, I know in advance the kinds of things I'm going to do. Everybody has, for the most part, direct experience with people that work in health professions. You know what a dentist does. You know what a pharmacist does. You know what a doctor does. It's all clear. Fewer people know what a scientist does. And in particular, for example, people that study chemistry for a living, it's less clear what they do. If you want to be involved in finding the cure for some disease, pick whatever disease is the one that you're the most interested in finding a cure for. Almost always, those cures don't come from people that work as a physician or as a pharmacist or as a dentist. Those cures are found by people that are working in the scientific, fundamental scientific research, finding the next natural product that can be then developed into a cure for that disease, or working on making organic molecules in a way that can be developed to allow us to get to those cures for disease, or understanding the fundamental biochemical mechanisms that underlie diseases and disease states. Those are people that have training in fundamental scientific research. And with our work with natural products chemistry, I mean, I think the number is something like around 80% of drugs that are on the market are natural product molecules or derived from natural products. You know, penicillin, of course, is the best example of that. Mm-hmm. We still use, you know, kilograms of penicillin a year. So, you know, our tagline is we are looking for the next penicillin, potentially, in these lichen natural products. And there's always the possibility of finding that.
Science is often presented as linear and even predictable. But John reminds us that the word search is part of research, and how important serendipity and risk are in the process of doing scientific research. Often the beginning is just the beginning, and if you want to find out the rest, you need to be curious. Thanks for listening to our show. Stay tuned for other episodes where we speak with more professors in the Faculty of Science. This episode wouldn't be possible without support from the University of Manitoba's Faculty of Science, STEAM Lab, and the Center for Creative Writing and Oral Culture. Edited by Teddy Zagea-Gabrahiwat, and I'm Seema Goyal, and I did the interview. The songs you heard were It's Okay, We Have Chemistry by Dr. Wiley, and Spores, Musks, and Lichens by Aragala Remixes Volphonic. And finally, a heartfelt thank you to Dr. John Sorensen for sharing his time and thoughts. Stay curious, folks.